Exploded myths re-exploded. At last year's Talking Newspapers conference, Penny Melville Brown set out to explode some myths. She was invited to be inspirational, but when I heard what she had to say, I was horrified. I do agree that losing one's sight is not the end of the world as long as you rise to the challenge. My career may not have been as impressive as Penny's. I had a 40-year career in education and then 6 years as a director of a local theatre. But it was still devastating to lose my sight. In 2019, I lost my sight very suddenly, going from 20/20 vision to zero in less than a year. My wife, although physically disabled, was, luckily, very tech-savvy, but when she died 2 years ago, I found myself at the bottom of a steep learning curve. The first myth that Penny tried to explode was the use of Braille. I've tried to read Braille, but my fingers are too clumsy. However, those blind people who can read Braille have a big advantage over me. For instance, I have to keep different medicines in different places, as I don't want to take a laxative when I really need Imodium. The other aspect is that you don't have to use a brailler just to produce Braille. You can use it to produce text. And the fastest brailers are far outstripping touch typists. So basically, although it's not widespread, don't dismiss it. Penny's second myth is about having a guide dog. Personally, I don't have a guide dog, and living alone, I have enough trouble looking after myself, never mind looking after a dog. But with the advance in technology, for example, my smart cane and my Ray-Ban Meta glasses, my mobility is significantly increasing. And with all the new technology that's currently being trialled, things are rapidly improving. However, I have friends with guide dogs and they bring an extra dimension to their lives that brings them a significant amount of joy. As for training humans, living alone, I do not have a pet, Alan, to guide me. One has to feel sorry for Alan, who's clearly replacing a guide dog, but doesn't even get the biscuits. The thing that really appalled me was Penny's behaviour in Boots. She describes her pet, Alan, taking her to the counter where she grabs a cowering assistant and forces her to do her shopping, only releasing her after they've been to the till. At which point, pet Alan then sweeps in and takes her off to terrify another assistant. As a barrister, does she not consider that grabbing and forcing an assistant to do her will is common assault? Being blind does not give you the right to be a bully. Contrast this with my recent visit to Boots. I find my own way with my white cane and I stand inside the door waiting for an assistant to spot me. Very quickly, an assistant asks if she can help and guides me to the counter. I ask if I can put my hand on her shoulder, as that's the way that I prefer to be led, and she readily agrees. At the counter, I tell her what I want and she nips off and collects what I need. If there's a choice, she brings me more than one, so I don't have to drag her around the shop. When we finish shopping, I hold out my debit card and she asks if she can move my hand to the machine for me to pay. She then asks if she can take me to the door, and on the way, she asks where I'm going to next. On the last occasion, I told the assistant that I was going to the co-op just down the road, and she said, "I've got a few minutes. I'll walk with you." And she then handed me over to an assistant at the co-op who helped me to buy what I needed there. In my 2 years of being out and about with my white cane and having found myself in several people's front gardens, inside someone's garage and twice walking down the middle of the road, I have found people to be helpful and cheerful. People often ask if they can help, and if I need it, I accept. I've not had to grab anybody, coerce anybody, and have had some very entertaining chats with a range of people. The final myth is that people live in a golden light. Like 35% of blind people, I suffer from Charles Bonnet syndrome. Now, people with Charles Bonnet syndrome have hallucinations. For most people, these are benign. Most of mine centre around furniture, including a grand piano that doesn't exist, structures, walls, flower beds that also don't exist, so that I do have to concentrate. I've walked into door frames, as my hallucinations sometimes move the frames to the right. But this is a minor inconvenience. However, talking to others, some hallucinations are frightening. I have talked to people who've seen bodies, things bursting into flames, and rows of people standing staring at whatever they're doing. Some people have found that their experiences have been dismissed by medical people, and some even feel that they're losing their minds. So it is grossly unfair for Penny to generalise her good luck with her visions, as this is not widely shared. Those of us who are mobile do develop a good map of their own environment and an increasingly complex map of the route to the town centre shops that can be significantly aided by the use of the new Ray-Ban Meta glasses. And as for being a good lie detector, I haven't noticed any difference. Where I do agree with Penny is that people shouldn't underestimate us, as we have many skills to offer. For example, I sit on at least 6 working groups, from organising a duck race to planning activities to address social isolation. My most recent challenge is taking over one of Suffolk Site's social groups. This gives me great pleasure because I'm working with a lovely group of clients and volunteers. So, although I strongly disagree with Penny on most things, I do share her view that when you become blind, life doesn't stop.